Well, hello, and welcome to the Leadership Show. This is Harriet Schumacher, and I'm so happy, I'm honored, really, that you're choosing to spend some time with me here today. This podcast is really designed to have some honest, intriguing, hopefully a sprinkle of inspiration here, on the topic of leadership and what it takes to lead in today's uncertain and volatile environment. And I'm a certified executive coach. I have over 20 years of experience working with leaders globally. And by no means does that mean that I have all the answers. I just know some cool people. I've got some insights and sometimes some things that I want to say. And so this podcast really is for your enjoyment. I hope that you tune in. I hope that you get some value out of it. And thank you again for tuning in. On to the show. Today is really all about boundaries, and what an interesting study the past 2 years have been in, establishing boundaries, the need to have boundaries, what happens when we don't have clear boundaries, because a lot of women have, been telling me that the lines of boundaries have really been redrawn and have gotten fuzzier, and there's really a need to kind of reset this. So that's what today's conversation is about. And so, I'm curious how many of you feel like your work schedule feels unmanageable. And I asked that question and I really want you to think about it, because just because you're managing it doesn't mean it's manageable. I know a lot of very high achieving women who have, work really 2-3 jobs while they get paid for one. And so just because you're managing it doesn't mean that your schedule is unmanageable. It doesn't mean that you're, doing something, working at a capacity that isn't really manageable or fair. So I want you to think about that. I also want you to think about, does your boss make time-consuming demands on a short sort of moment's notice, like with little real planning, little preparation, a little thought put into it? Perhaps you find yourself, which is also very common, one of the reasons why we might struggle with boundaries is because you struggle with saying no. So a lot of women struggle with this, find themselves caught in this cycle of people-pleasing, saying yes to a lot of things and not even thinking that, wow, I could actually say no and set some boundaries for myself. So if any of this sounds like you, I would bet that you're probably feeling quite overwhelmed, and perhaps there are some areas that you feel are out of control, that you don't know how to, pull back the reins, if you will. And, you add in technology, which has really made it more challenging for us to establish boundaries. And with so many of us working from home now, the lines have become even more blurred. And so this is the state of affairs, right? This is the reality of what's going on for many of us. And so, I always tell women, you teach people how to work with you. And so in a lot of this, what I'm going to talk about today, I really want you to think about, in truth, you really do get what you tolerate. And so, if you find yourself complying and saying yes to a lot of things and trying to please and appease, you're teaching people that you have no boundaries and that's okay. So, the other thing is important to take context here is to recognize that work isn't, all of who you are. So one of the reasons why you want to establish boundaries is so that you can do something more than just work, right? You can have a life and enjoy it and have energy to give to those other parts of your life, those other places that really matter most. There's definitely more to us than work. And so establishing boundaries at work really helps you to, safeguard your time, also your energy, because so many people are feeling really depleted right now. And there's no point in, pushing yourself through the week to get through all of the work to just, not have any energy to live your life in the time that you, might not be working, right? And so You know, there's a big connection between having good boundaries and the energy that you have, the purpose that you feel that you are putting into the work, and also how fulfilled you feel. So, you know, some work boundaries can be really sort of functional and clear, while others are more intangible and somewhat flexible. And so, you know, an example of that, you know, we need to get sleep and there are boundaries in place to ensure that that happens. But having clear boundaries doesn't mean that we won't think about work when we're not working. That's the thing. Like, you know, I know a lot of people struggle with like shutting off. I have a lot of tabs open in my brain every day. Sometimes even when I'm sleeping, I'm dreaming about work and I think about work. And so I know that sometimes I struggle with this too. Part of that though is not because I'm stressing about it, but because I'm very invested in what I'm doing and I'm trying to find ways to create and innovate, and I love what I do. So, you know, it takes up a big part of my identity. But I think that we don't think about, you know, personal stuff during work time. So if you're finding that work is like consuming a lot of your thinking time, you know, it might be a sign that maybe it's time to pull back a little bit and just kind of assess and recalibrate what's going on. And so what I want you to think about is when you have really clear boundaries, you have dedicated work time, and then you switch that time off and you flip on the switch to do other things. And you don't find, you know, this overlap happening all the time. It's really interesting, you know, when you look over time, because there was a period in time where everybody was talking about work-life balance. That was the model, that we need to know how to switch things off. And everybody was struggling with that. And then the theorists came out and said, well, no, it's not about work-life balance. It's about work-life integration. It's about finding work that makes you feel like you can bring your whole self to work, right? You've heard this all before. And that, you know, who you are should be an expression, and your identity with what you do and who you are should be very connected. Now I look at what's been happening over the past 25 months or so, and I don't think that strategy has been serving very many people well, because there has been no separation. There has been no balance. So many people are so all into what it is that they do. Right now, we are going through a burnout epidemic for lots of reasons, right? Work is a big part of it. Also, you know, things that are going on globally, et cetera, right? But, you know, people are really like questioning all of this. And so I don't know what the new model is going to look like. I think it's going to be more connected to happiness. And that is going to have everything to do with the kind of boundaries that you establish. So there's no one right way to do this. I just know that a lot of people are struggling with establishing boundaries and maintaining them in their work environments, because we're being asked to do a lot in a very short period in time. And so that's what I want to talk about today. And so here's how I think some of the things that you can do. You know, if you feel like you're struggling with establishing and setting boundaries and you want more happiness, not only at work, but also just sort of in life overall, here are some things that I think you need to do. The first thing is that you need to know your worth. And I think one of the reasons why women tend to struggle with this in particular is because we do not necessarily fully know our worth. Or we downplay it, we diminish it in some capacity. And so if you've ever, you know, if you struggle with confidence or self-doubt, or you don't or you seek a lot of external validation in order to feel secure, which is very common, you know, we can end up throwing ourselves into our work to try and sort of ascertain enoughness. You know, from our outputs, from how useful we are, from making ourselves indispensable, very commonplace. But the trade-off here is that you are, you know, driving the burnout bus. You're not just on the bus, you begin to drive it. And so the more that we do, the further away we get from feeling enough, because there's always more to do. Like, there's never enough, and perfectionists really struggle with this. So plus, you know, those around us become used to that level of output. So you begin to establish sort of a, you teach people how to work with you. You establish a brand for that. You know, so many women classify themselves as, you know, I've heard so many women say, I'm the woman who gets shit done. And I'm like, okay, great. But what if you're like tired of getting shit done someday and you don't want to be the person that everybody has to come to get shit done? Why are you the one person who gets shit done and everybody else can coast? That doesn't feel fair, right? And so we have to sometimes hold up the mirror and say, okay, how am I contributing to this by the way in which I'm showing up, right? And so if you're struggling with really identifying your worth, you're probably more likely to say yes to what's being asked of you, even when we'd rather say no. And so getting that external validation, getting that, you know, pat on the back, getting the accolades, the recognition, feeds this feeling that we need inside, this feeling that I am enough and I am wanted and I am needed. And then we continually keep seeking that out, which means that we don't fully understand our own worth. Our worth is attached to other people's expectation of us. It doesn't come from within. And so, you know, this can become problematic when it's, you know, overdone, because, you know, the truth is that we are all brimming with all kinds of value, even when we can't necessarily see it. And so, you know, you take all of your experience, your accomplishments, your skills, your expertise, your insights, you know, your lived experiences. And this has a unique value that only you can offer. There's nobody like you, nobody like me. And, you know, all the pieces that we've gone through in our life are what make us uniquely positioned to do what it is that we do. But, you know, really understanding your worth and valuing that means that you have an awareness and appreciation of what it is that you can offer. And so women sometimes get caught in this trap when we diminish that, or we are too overly humble with owning our worth and our accomplishments. And so we may not necessarily be communicating that. We might be sort of hustling for recognition, and we probably will struggle with speaking up when our boundaries have been violated, because we don't recognize when they have been. And if they, you know, we have more of a pattern of saying yes and pleasing and appeasing, that feels more normal than pushing back and establishing boundaries, because it's somehow not aligned with how we really see ourselves. I think another thing that really, you know, sort of point number two here, in order to really establish, set boundaries and maintain them, is that you need to be able to communicate clearly and concisely. And so I think a lot of women try to attempt to establish a boundary, but the way in which you establish those is lacking a level of assertiveness. And so it feels almost like apologetic, like you're apologizing or guilty or shameful for putting a boundary in place in the begin with, right? So like, you know, oh, I just need to, or sorry that I have to bother you, or I hate to be a pain. You know, I've caught myself doing this before too. It's like, we feel like we need to have an apology before the ask. And so sometimes this is not the most effective way to communicate and establish a boundary, because it's sort of meek and mild. It's very nice. It's a very nice way to do it. And could be priming you to get more of a no. And it also dilutes your message. It becomes unclear. And so what I want you to really work on is how to communicate honestly, how to communicate clearly and succinctly, leaving no uncertainty behind your intention, like no kind of wiggle room. And so you really don't want to open the door for people to do the same, right? You don't want them to be misinterpreting how serious you are about the boundary. You don't want to have to continue to keep having the same conversation over and over again, because every time that you do that and you're not getting the result you want, you end up with more frustration and resentment, right? It is okay to assert a boundary. It's absolutely okay to do that. It's okay to change your mind. Let's say you thought something was okay, you know, a year ago, and now time has changed and you're like, it used to be okay, and now it's not. That's all right. You're allowed to change your mind, okay? It's okay to share your opinion and your perspective on a particular situation. It's okay to be assertive and to the point. It's okay to follow up where people are dropping the ball on missed deadlines. It's okay to check in. It's okay to ask for adjustments and tweaks and changes. It's also okay to just say no. All of those things are okay, all right? I also think that you need to sort of, point number three here is really get clear on expectations. So there are a variety of things that we are expected to do. And I mean, I'm shocked at how many people don't have a job description. So it's almost like, okay, I'm just going to say yes to how much you're going to pay me. I may or may not have negotiated that. I'm going to say yes to this job title, but I don't really know what you expect of me. This is constantly evolving. So, but maybe sometimes for some of you, you do have a job description and it's probably not that clear. I would bet that most of the things that you do are not on your job description, right? Like it's inaccurate. It doesn't fully represent the scope and breadth of what's expected of you or what you're being asked to do. And so, I think as time progresses, you know, you might want to think about making some adjustments to what that is. I think it can be a really good point of clarity because, you know, the baseline evolves as we evolve, which is fine as long as the expectations remain clear, they're realistic, they're mutually agreed upon, but a lot of times they are not. You know, a lot of times the expectations are not clear. And this is where if you're sitting here and you're like, okay, I know I have a job, I know I get paid to do a job, I know what my title is, but I don't really know what my expectations are. I think that sometimes that is a red flag that we probably need to sit down and have a conversation. Because you want to be able to manage expectations. And, you know, there's a lot of times consequences that can come from, situations where expectations are not being met, right? And a lot of us, you know, part of the reason why we don't set boundaries is because we're afraid of the threat of those consequences in the first place. So if you want to be like clear and in control and calm and, you know, in charge of what it is that you do, then getting clear on expectations is really important. You know, on the flip side of that, there's a lot of like firefighting and a lot of reactivity in the workplace today. So people are just, you know, asking us to do things, not realizing like that's another thing on top of your day job. And so, you know, if you feel like the line of sight to what you do and what you're being asked to do is fuzzy by your boss or your boss's boss or other people, then sometimes it's important to think about having like an alignment conversation. And so I think that everybody should at some point, you know, sit down and have an alignment conversation with your boss and get clear on, you know, what actually is expected of me and, you know, what am I really hired to do? And so here's how I would suggest you do that. I would say you should write down a list of all the things you feel that you are personally accountable for. Dump it all down on a piece of paper. And then I would ask talk to your boss and say, I feel like, you know, it would be great for me. I really want to meet expectations, et cetera, et cetera. I'm finding that, you know, some things have gotten a little bit fuzzy here and there. I'd love to, you know, recalibrate with you, like a recalibration conversation, right? Just to make sure that I'm focused on the things that matter most. So I'm going to write a list of all the things that I think I'm personally responsible for. Hey, boss, can you do the same thing? Can you write down a list of all the things you think I'm personally responsible for, right? So each of you would have your own list. And then I would book a meeting to have this alignment conversation. And this conversation can be very eye-opening, as you can imagine, right? Because it can expose a lot of discrepancies on both sides. So your lists could look very different, and I'm sure that they will. And that is good, because you want to leave this conversation with clarity. What I would also do is you're looking through those two lists of, accountabilities, expectations, whatever you call them in your organizational culture. Then I also, in that meeting, once you have agreed to the list, I would prioritize them like high, medium, low priority items so that you're clear on the direction that you want to take. I would also encourage you to set some boundaries in that meeting. Like that's a big part of what that's about. So, you know, if there are things on your list, when you make that list of all the things you're personally responsible for, just because they're on your list doesn't necessarily mean that you want to do them or it makes sense for you to continue to keep doing them. You know, perhaps there are some things on there that are no longer the best use of you. So I encourage you to come into that meeting kind of prepared with that already, things that you no longer want to do. And go through that list and say, okay, are there things on here which I could automate? You know, maybe we have an opportunity to bring in some automations and some productivity enhancements. Of course, there are bazillions of those. So many things can be automated nowadays. So could you use some of that so that you don't have to, you know, be so labor intensive with some things? Could you eliminate some things? Like, we just shouldn't be doing this anymore. It doesn't make any sense. Gone. We don't do it. Or are there things that you might want to delegate to somebody within your team? And if you don't have anybody on your team, you're delegating it somewhere else. You know, that's a part of the, maybe that's a question mark in this meeting that you need to figure out who that person is. So anything that you don't feel aligns with where you want to be in your role right now should be negotiated. And let me tell you, everything is negotiable. Everything is. But if you're not clear, then, you know, this could be contributing to some of the reason why you're feeling stuck and why you have no boundaries in the first place, because you're kind of saying yes to everything, or you haven't had this alignment conversation in quite a while. If you've been in your role for some time, I'm sure that things have gotten a little bit fuzzy, right? Okay, so that conversation, I would just get on the calendar this year, you know, sooner rather than later, to sort of host that alignment conversation with your boss. Okay, so the sort of fourth tip that I have here around setting boundaries is you need to, if you feel like you're kind of, the cards are getting a little bit stacked against you and that stuff that I was talking about earlier, you need to identify what's non-negotiable for you. And, you know, women who are struggle with complying and people pleasing and perfectionism, there are no non-negotiables, right? Like, that just becomes, that's the like telltale sign that we don't have any boundaries or we struggle with establishing, right? You know, when you think of every choice that we make has a trade-off, right? It has a consequence, it has a compromise. Like, there's always something every time that we make a decision or we say yes to something, there's a trade-off. And so, you know, if you work extra hours, the trade-off is you can't be in two places at once, right? If you, you know, and if you're not conscious of what the trade-off is, if you're too reactive with how you say yes to things, if you don't negotiate and you're just taking it all on, you're not thinking about the trade-off. And that's where we get overwhelmed, is because the trade-off will show up eventually, right? It'll creep up. And then you're going to be like, oh yeah, I didn't consider, you know, what I was going to have to give up in order to do this, right? So this is about being conscious of that in advance. And so it's helpful to have a non-negotiables list. And, you know, I think of that as kind of like your promise to yourself. And if you really struggle with saying no, or you struggle with setting boundaries, this might help you to think about, okay, where you could be crossing the line. And so, you know, where you weigh the implications of your choices before you say yes to something, you got to think about the trade-off, right? Or, you know, if you're saying yes to overtime, for example, or yes to taking on this project or this initiative, what are you going to be saying no to by saying yes to that, right? Because, you know, non-negotiables could be things like, we don't want to ever miss a parent teacher, or you never want to miss a school play or an activity that, you know, might happen during the day, or you never want to miss taking care of your kids or a family member when they're sick. Like, you know, what are the non-negotiables in your life? You never don't want to be able to take your vacation. In fact, the most successful people plan their vacation at the beginning of the year and work around it, right? But a lot of people don't take their vacation, which is, you know, very sad. So your non-negotiables are kind of like your compass, right? Perhaps you also don't want to be contacted by your work colleagues on social media. You know, like, this is your personal life. You know, you don't want to share your social media with work. You don't want to be contacted by people in that forum, right? I think when you get clear on this stuff, it's really helping to illuminate what matters most to you and is a really great place to start to establish personal boundaries that can really support you feeling like, okay, people respect my boundaries. These are things that are non-negotiable. Or maybe you're not going to respond to emails between the hours of 6 and 9 because that's family time, non-negotiable. I will not be responding to your request during those periods of time. You can establish these kinds of boundaries. Lots of people do. Lots do. Okay. Working from home needs boundaries, right? It sounds ideal, like this whole, it was probably ideal for a lot of people who've never had the opportunity to work from home before. It definitely has its pluses. It has pros. It also has cons, right? But I think for a lot of folks, the trade-off was, wow, this requires me to set a whole new level of boundaries that I didn't have to set before, you know? Like I dream of walking out of an office and leaving it there. You know, I also love the fact that if I'm thinking of something for work, I can just walk from, you know, one room to the other and do it. You know, I like that flexibility and I've worked from home for 10 years now. Right. So, but a lot of folks struggled with that, you know, in the height of the pandemic, at the beginning of the year, like I had women in tears on the phone because they're taking their team meeting in their closet because they're working from home with everybody, you know, like it's just, it's mental. There with her dresses on her head and her shoes, like trying to be having a Zoom meeting, you know, bananas, right? So I think regardless of what's going on in your work environment, you might need to say, okay, there might need to be some boundaries redrawn now, okay? You know, maybe because it requires a greater level of self-discipline. You need to also be able to create boundaries for yourself. Like, you know, nobody's going to tell you, you need to get up from your chair and go for a walk, maybe get some fresh air, you know, and knowing when enough is enough, how to put down your work when your family is at home, or like how to do those transitions from work to the other parts of your life. Like those transitions are really important, right? How to shut off your notifications so that you're not hearing all the bells and whistles of email or Slack or whatever forms of you know, technology which might be coming through and interrupting you, right? So working from home requires really like a heightened level of consciousness to make space for ourselves in and around work. And you might need to establish some boundaries because there are definitely people who work, all of us work from home and have different boundaries, right? Some people like to work at night. Some people like to work early in the morning. And so you could be getting communication from people all over the time. Doesn't mean that you have to respond, right? You're allowed to establish your own boundary. The other thing that I really want you to be mindful of is burnout. And so many women experience this and are experiencing this. And I experienced it too. Wasn't clear that that's what I was experiencing, but I went through it and, you know, watched and coached a lot of women who went through it too. And, you know, burnout really is, comes from chronic workplace stress that has not been able to be managed. And, you know, it's a symptom of like energy depletion, exhaustion, like almost like a distance from your work. You can end up being very negative, very cynical, not feeling like you have control over things. You can feel foggy and just, you struggle with being able to make decisions. And so if you've got burnout, if you're struggling with burnout, it makes it almost impossible to establish boundaries, right? It's just like, that's just one more thing to do. So we become even more overwhelmed because we really struggle with the self-efficacy that's required to be able to establish boundaries in the first place. And so, you know, you can find yourself like full throttle, passionate about your job, feeling fulfilled and purposeful and motivated, and still get burned out from that, right? So it doesn't mean that you hate your job. Like that's not where burnout comes from. In fact, burnout comes from like commitment and working really hard, right? And a lot of times we can get burnt out because we justify all the long working hours, maybe because we feel like we love what we do and we're really committed to what we do. Or there could be like a crisis that's going on in your work environment and people are really counting on you if you're taking on a leadership role. So you feel like you have to, right? And so The problem is that your work ethic, your drive, your tenacity, your caring and compassion for others, that focus that you're able to give to your job is not a limited, like it's not a never-ending supply, right? It's not like a tap that you just turn on and it just keeps coming out. You have to cultivate it. And when I did some research many years ago about, you know, how do gold medalists in the Olympics is happening right now, how do they win? What was amazing to me is that they actually rest. So the more intense that they practice, the more that they rest. And so, you know, the only way that we can really counteract burnout and our work ethic and going all in is by stepping away and, you know, refueling and creating a life that is outside of work or even outside of parenting or outside of all the other, you know, duties and responsibilities that we take in our life, and like actually connecting with ourselves and finding other things that you also derive pleasure from that fuel you. You know, this whole energy game is not to be poo-pooed. You know, so thinking about the things that, you know, give you energy and the things that drain your energy is really important to take pay attention to that, because that is a lot of where you're making decisions from, right? Glorifying busyness isn't doing you or anybody else any favors. And so, you know, can you switch off? You know, are you able to, like, you know, only burn the candle at one end instead of at both? Are you able to tune in and pay attention to how you are feeling and what's going on? That's the consciousness that I'm talking about here. You have to be able to slow down enough to be able to tune in and pay attention. And the whole idea here is to play the long game, because switching off can feel very counterproductive. I know some people that find, like, the thought of doing less provokes anxiety and fear, right? Because it's like, well, if I do less, like the list is just going to get bigger, right? That's the natural inclination that we have. And so maybe it will. You don't know that. That's a bit of an assumption, right? But maybe you'll be more effective at working on that stuff once you've had some period of rest, right? So there needs to be space. You know, taking breaks in a good way to give yourself the distance that you need to renew. So, you know, getting up from your desk, making sure that you're eating and taking lunch breaks. I never used to have lunch built into my calendar. So I would work the entire day and I would eat at 3 o'clock. That's not smart. Now lunch is built into my calendar and I get up and I go and eat lunch, right? To be able to have that transition from morning work to afternoon work. And I'm just a whole much better than that, but I could easily fill my day and never take a break, right? And I'm sure you could too. And so also, you know, taking vacation time, using your sick days if you're feeling unwell, you know, creating space and taking break doesn't mean that you're no longer passionate or effective or dedicated or motivated. It doesn't mean any of those things. It means that you're creating space to cultivate your passion, to cultivate your motivation, to cultivate your dedication. It's, you're taking space so that you can be, so that you can continue to perform. And so, you know, it's really, really important. And so many women feel guilty about doing this, and I used to as well, and I'm working on it, work in progress, right? Definitely work in progress. But I know that I feel better when I take better care of myself, and I'm sure you do too. And the brain is calmer, right? The wheels are spinning at a normal pace instead of, you know, a too fast one. So I want to talk a little bit about technology. So technology, I mean, I have a love-hate relationship with it. I'm sure you do too. Technology was intended to be there to enhance our lives, not to rule our lives. And so I think a lot of us have let it take over. I know, and it's been very challenging in my house with all this indoor time, you know, geez, trying to establish any technology boundaries with my children, it's nearly impossible because there's nothing to do. They've shut everything. That's a separate rant that I can go on right now, but literally, you know, it's an ice field outside since last week, and it's really hard. Anyway, so I want you to think about how can you start to make technology work for you instead of against you? And, you know, is there a way that you can start to turn your technology into a productivity engine? If you don't know a lot about different automations and things that you can use to help make your life easier, you know, there's a bazillion things. Like, I would encourage you to go and look at Zapier, Zapier. That is like an automation tool that just speaks different languages of things to each other. Just go check it. Your mind will be blown. So many things can happen that could just enhance your world and make technology be working for you behind the scenes. You know, the other thing I think about is email. Email is not the work. It's really not. You know, if somebody emails you at 11 p.m., do you have to respond? No, you don't. You know, I think a lot of us need to take a deeper look at our relationship with technology. And, you know, you have complete control over how much time you choose to invest there. And if you confront it head on and you really start to look at, okay, how do I start my day? Where do I go first? How often do I check my phone? You know, all of these things, if you start looking at the habits you've developed, you know, you can begin to see where you might need to make adjustments, and you can start to use technology as a powerful tool to help you be more proactive and productive. At the end of the day, technology isn't the problem. It's us and the choices that we make, which make it the problem, right? So it's all about discernment. A lot of this is about choice, and you have more power than you probably realize to discern and make choices here. And so here's my take on email. It's not urgent. If it was, I would hope people would pick up the phone, right? Like, or text you, or write urgent in the subject body, you know? And so, you know, if you find yourself starting your day with email and feel really compelled to respond to things straight away, because I know I used to be that. I used to think that that was one of the hallmarks of effective communication. You know, all emails should be responded to within 24 hours. I don't know how I feel about that any longer, right? And I think, is your, you know, the question really is here, is your worth really measured by how quickly you respond to an email? Really? Is that how your worth is measured? I definitely feel like email needs to be responded to, but not all of it needs to be responded to in that moment. And so, you know, could you put on your out of office after 6 p.m.? I mean, that's just crazy talk, I know. But, you know, that's one of the ways that we can establish boundaries. So I had a boss a previous life, and she was really effective at establishing work boundaries during the day, because she had, you know, as we all do, different requirements of her role. She had, like, you know, she needed development time and thinking time and strategic time. Then there was like email response time. And then there is meeting time, like different elements of the day, like we all have, right? And so she decided to implement time blocking, which is a tremendously powerful tool. I encourage all of you to do it, starting by really envisioning what would the ideal week look like for you? And what do you want the rhythm of your day to look like? Because again, the philosophy here is you teach people how to work with you. So many of us are just like, yeah, you can book an appointment in my calendar whenever you want. It's yours, take it. You tell me when to work, right? Email, yep. If there's 100 emails, I'm just gonna sit there and I'm gonna answer all of them and then check I've done my email. And as soon as you're doing that, more are coming through. Like, we're just kind of in this automation where we're just sucked into it, right? It doesn't have to be that way. So, you know, think about what's the right flow for your day? You know, are there certain days where meetings are better? And I know that you're probably thinking of, yeah, well, I can't do that because this person needs this over here. I mean, you could sit down and have a conversation. If you find like you're not finding time to do the work that is the highest priority, the thing that you love to do the most and the biggest contribution, then something needs to give. And the only way that that's going to change is by you establishing some boundaries in the first place, right? And so I really want you to think about, like, what are some limits that you could set for yourself so you can focus on things that likely matter more than the things that you're currently getting sucked into. And if you're burnt out, like those, you know, the easier things are what we gravitate towards because they're easier, you know? And then a week goes by and we're like, wow, you know, what did I do this week? I responded to some email. Not that that's like terrible, but there's probably a whole bunch of other stuff that you need to carve out time to work on that you're not finding time to do that work because you're responding to everybody else's urgencies, which aren't actually probably urgent in the first place. So there's a lot of reactive energy out there. Most people struggle with boundaries and discernment and really being able to manage their time. And so a lot of what we get sucked into is other people's disorganization, other people's poor planning, right? And that's something to pay attention to. So, you know, maybe that's an idea for you is to really think about, okay, if I was to set up my schedule so that it totally worked for me and I was to implement some time zones, productivity, thinking time, like planning, prioritization time, time where people can book meetings, time where I check email, time where I take lunch, maybe time where I go for a block, and you time blocked all of that into your calendar. So if somebody wants to book a meeting with you, your availability only shows the times that you are open for others to do that. That's totally possible. Yep. Totally possible. So, you know, I think that all of this really is about taking it. Well, it's about taking pause. And if you are not feeling good, you're not taking care of yourself, very hard to take pause, right? So, you know, the next time somebody asks you to do something that feels, you know, out of the ordinary, rather than saying yes, hit the pause button before you respond. And this will allow you to check in with yourself and contemplate the trade-off. If I say yes to this, what am I saying no to? Instead of saying yes, maybe it's a maybe. Tell me more. When does this really need to get done by? Is there anybody else that could do this? Let me think about it and I'll get back to you if I can take this on or not. Totally okay to say that, right? And asking some questions to clarify with the person who's asking you, how important actually is this? And when does this actually need to get done? Because you need to know this person probably hasn't given it that much thought. They think it needs to be done right now when actually it probably doesn't. All right. So having a conversation about that could provide you with the space, right? You know, or it allows you to check in and see if you have a conflict, see if you're going to be trying to pull off heroics. In order to just sort of meet somebody's expectation, right? Maybe you need to buy yourself some time. You know, you saying something like, I might be able to, let me just check my schedule and get back to you. I might be able to. Let me see. I'll let you know. Great. Let me take a look and see. And then you can negotiate. So if they want it done by this time and you're like, no, can't do it. If I do it during this period of time that they're asking, here's all the stuff that I'm gonna have to say no to. So you could go back with them and say, I've taken a look at my schedule. Unfortunately, that time frame doesn't work, but here is what I can do, and offering them the alternative. Most of the time you're going to hear, okay, no problem. Right? So, and then there are going to be times when that's, you're going to have to negotiate that. You're going to have to really think about it. Right. And then, you know, I'm kind of alluding to putting together some sort of productivity system. And so, you know, I've talked earlier about automate, eliminate, delegate. That's a productivity system. I've talked about sitting down with your boss and having an alignment conversation to get clear on what expectations are. I've talked to you about establishing a non-negotiables list and really thinking about what are things that you are not willing to give up so that when requests come your way, when you're thinking about the trade-off, if saying yes to that means that you're going to have to say no to one of the things that's non-negotiable, that's like a big red flag. Can't do it. Won't do it. Here's why. Okay. And letting your employer know, these are things that I am not prepared to give up. You know, not prepared to give up, or here's what's going on behind the scenes that you need to be aware of. You know, like I have an elderly mom at home. I'm her sole caregiver, you know, not prepared to not be able to take her to her appointments, for example. You know, all this stuff is negotiable. I've talked to you about establishing time zones. I've talked to you about putting out of office on and really thinking about, you know, where do I need to create some space for myself to rest, renew, and recover, so that I can still bring myself, you know, to what I love to do, okay? I also encourage you to have a master task list if you don't already have that. Some people do list taking and, you know, we've got all kinds of different ways of doing that. Master task list, everything all in one place, personal and professional, all in the same place. And I think you should either have a digital system or a paper system, but not both, because you're creating chaos for yourself. So wherever you do that, everything in one place. And then here's what happens when you start to establish boundaries. So let's say that you go out there, you start doing some of this, you're pushing back, you're challenging, you're giving that moment of pause, you're having the conversation, you're not saying yes to everything, you are no longer being the doormat, okay? You can expect some pushback. Because once you start establishing some boundaries, you can expect some people to react negatively, like, who she thinks she is, right? That's good when that happens, because it's a sign that the boundary was probably necessary, because maybe you were being taken advantage of. And if they're reacting to it, it's working. They're hearing you, right? And so sometimes you might want to think about, though, in advance, okay, maybe I got somebody who's going to, I'm anticipating they could react quite strongly or quite negatively to me establishing a boundary here. What am I going to do when that happens? How will I handle that, right? And so you can think about how to be objective and rational in that situation versus taking it emotionally, because there could be a lot of, you know, interpersonal stuff that goes on here, our own internal work that we need to do to, in order to be able to establish boundaries. And so that rejection can feel like a loss. It can feel like really hard initially. But I can assure you, the leaders that I know that are happiest, most productive, are the ones that have the best boundaries. Yeah. And it also allows you to earn respect, right? Because you're showing enough respect for yourself, and that respect gets rewarded. You know, you get to earn the respect of other people by establishing these boundaries for yourself in the first place. And so Brené Brown says this, she talks a lot about boundaries and setting boundaries as one of the ways of establishing trust, self-trust, and then trust with others. And she says, daring to set boundaries is about having the courage to love ourselves, even when we risk disappointing others. We can't base our own worthiness on others' approval. Only when we believe deep down that we are enough can we say enough. Beautifully said. So I hope that you found this conversation valuable. If you feel like there are some places where boundaries are falling off, then maybe it's a good time to just sit down and take some stock. Women are doing a lot, too much in a lot of ways. So any questions from anybody that's here? Anything that you want to have answered or comments you want to make? Hi, Serafina.
Just a couple comments if it helps. Number one, I find Outlook actually there's like these like tips that comes up, and I find I used to like just to discard them. I was like, oh, why does this come through? Like, I'm like, this is just noise. But I actually have started to use them, and they actually are quite helpful. Like, it'll pre-book focus time for you. It'll say like, hey, are you ready for this meeting? Like, it's quite helpful. And then the second thing, beautiful, I would say, and I'm not sure, you know, Lori and Sherry, if you're working moms, but I've started to read this book that's it's called How Not to Lose Your Shit on Your Kids or With Your Kids. And it's like exactly, you know, it's long story short, it's many of the things that you're saying here, Harriet, are exactly what it says about that, right? Like taking time for yourself, being able to like shut down, because otherwise you're just not able to be everything all over. So just a couple things.
I hope we arrive at a point in time where we don't feel like we have to do so much of this, you know, like we don't have to. I loved the whole philosophy of work-life integration. I do believe in that. I am part of like, we should find work that we can bring our whole selves to, but it's just like the whole self piece, I think, went too far. Like that means that you are work first, life second. And it's like, well, no, like integration doesn't mean only like work. Integration means the other parts of my life. And I just think it's so interesting right now how so many people are leaving their, you know, the great resignation that people are talking about on social media all the time. And I was reading in a book the other day that the World Health Organization is starting to measure like a happiness index, a work happiness index. And I think that we're going to start to see more of this trend, because like the psychological elements of work are so much more important to people than the financial aspects. And there's really going to be some interesting stuff that's going to happen, I think, over the next couple of years in relation to this. We're learning a lot about, you know, what people are not prepared to lose any longer, you know, just in order to get a paycheck. So yeah. Okay. So that's what I wanted to say. I mean, it's okay to set boundaries. Nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with it whatsoever. And the more that you do that, the more respect you'll earn. And the more people will get to know you, right? Like what really matters to you. So I encourage all of you to maybe take some of the things that I shared today and think about how you can apply them. And just, you know, one foot in front of the other, starting with that conversation, or at least taking stock, of what you think your responsibilities are. And you probably have a very eye-opening conversation with your employer, especially if they can't fill out the list, which don't be surprised if they don't know what's on it, which is another big telltale sign, like, whoa, okay. Hello, boss, do you know what I do here? You know, that happens because they are struggling with boundaries too, right? It's not malicious. It's just, you know, clarity is something that we could always have more of. And take care. Thanks for being here. I'll see you soon. Have a good week. Bye, everybody. Bye.